WGN Radio, Craig Collins, Cody Goff sitting in for Matt Bubala. And we're going to talk dating. That makes sense. You're newly engaged tonight, so why not? Why don't we get into the dating world a little bit?
Yeah, go for it.
Our guest on the line is Susie Parkis. Susie, are you there? Susie?
Hi.
Hey, Susie. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Well, this morning. I'm really good, thank you.
Right, yeah, this morning. So you're calling us from London, correct?
That's the one.
And what time is it there, like 9:30 in the morning?
Just past 9:30,
nice.
Yes.
Did you have like a tea this morning, I assume? There's tea there all the time, right?
You know what? I am a self-confessed teapot, but I haven't had my cup of tea yet.
Oh my God, I feel like we're interrupting your cup of tea. If you want to pour it while we're doing this, it's totally fine. You are also a dating expert, a dating coach, and a matchmaking expert. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool. So tell us a little bit about how you got into... were you setting up a lot of your friends first and just realized you were really good at this? Like, how did you get into becoming a dating coach?
Oh, it's a complete hodgepodge. But, yeah, I've always introduced people because I'm a bit of a, I don't know, busybody in that way. And I've helped a lot of couples form. And then I was doing some dinner parties because I just wanted to connect with all my friends. And so I could do mass catch-ups. And they started sort of meeting and mingling. And then somebody gave me a bit of a nudge and said, Suze, you know so many single people. Why don't you do something about this and set up a single dinner? And I was like, are you serious? Because it's not like I've got nothing else to do.
Yeah, so then you set up meetyourmatch.club, right?
Right. So it was quite well, I didn't have a brand at the time. But yeah, so it started off with singles dinners, like me just inviting people. And people started to meet, marry, and have babies. And then I actually formalized it into a business and started doing singles events. And then people actually started asking me for formalized matchmaking services, not just, hey, do you know anyone? So that's kind of when the Meet Your Match thing started. And kind of in between the events and the matchmaking, people were saying, you know, do you offer coaching? Can you coach me? Because I feel like I'm really struggling. And, you know, it just kind of started from there and word got around. And, you know, my track record in the first 18 months was like 16 couples, 5 engagements and 3 weddings.
Wow.
And it's obviously gone up.
Do you give speeches? Everybody has to ask you to give a speech at these weddings, right? If you introduce people, my line of thinking is that you get the speech right after the dads and moms. Then you get to talk.
Are you kidding?
No, I think so. Come on. Yeah, of course.
No. People are like, you know, how did you meet? Oh, you know, we just got introduced. No one would ever say we met at a singles event or we were introduced. Having said that, though.
Yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned that. Why do you think that is?
Because... even though we've moved on, right, and everyone's using dating apps and whatever to meet, people still feel like they've not achieved in their relationship because they had to use alternative means by which to meet someone, whether that's using an introduction service or an app or an event.
And it's been that way for a decade. Where's the tipping point, do you think? When is it going to stop being such a faux pas?
You know, I think it depends on the person because I've been to so many weddings where people actually celebrate it. So a friend of mine sort of a year or so ago, they got married and they met on Tinder. Funny enough, they actually went to the same university together, but they didn't cross paths. And they didn't hide the fact. You know, it was like, it is what it is, right? So Tinder helps us, right? Happy days, here we are. Other people would be like, no, we would never ever mention that, you know, we met on the likes of Tinder, Bumble, etc., because it's just not the done thing and, you know, we'll be dubbed as losers. So I really think it's a personal thing. But coming back to your point, the first wedding that we celebrated, it was actually really nice. The couple in their speech acknowledged me. And
there you go.
Quite embarrassing.
No, it's not. You deserve all the credits. You deserve all the accolades. I introduced one set of friends that wound up getting married. And when I went to their wedding, I made sure everyone knew that I was the reason they were married. I just walked around. Everyone that needed to know, people that didn't need to know, this is all because of me.
Yeah, but that's because you were being a good Samaritan, right? Business.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's right. I was trying to grow my own business. So tell me, what are some common problems that you see? You mentioned that people sometimes struggle in the dating world, and maybe it's not just in the app world, but in general. What are some of the most common things you're coaching people to do better?
Oh, what I'm coaching them to do better. Okay, because there's two different sides to that conversation.
Okay, give me both sides.
Okay, fine. So I'll tell you the common issues in relationships,
yes.
Right? And then I'll tell you what my clients have problems with. So trust is one of the fundamentals in a relationship. And trust these days is much harder to achieve than previously, because there's so much temptation in the forms of social media and people being curious with the apps, you know, married friends or people in relationships having conversations with single friends and having their curiosity piqued. So there's a massive, massive trust issue that needs to be managed the whole time. Communication is absolutely massive. There's so much miscommunication and misunderstanding going on. So you need to find your common communication style in a relationship. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of problems moving forward and a lot of blow-ups. Money is a really big one, or lack of money, especially if one's earning more than the other. Then there's this imbalance of, I can't afford to keep up with this, even though that might not be expected. So money does generally cause a lot of problems. You'd be surprised, but actually too much socialising causes problems, because you need to have quality time in a relationship as well. And so when the couple or one of the people in the couple don't feel like there's enough quality time, they start being uncomfortable about the fact that their partner's socialising too much, or they're socialising too much as a couple because they're having to vie for their partner's attention.
And you even see that if they were social creatures to begin with, if they're both really social people and then they get together, you still think that they need to pull back from that kind of world?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, you can't just go out socialising and then go to bed, because otherwise you know what will happen.
Sure.
Is you could end up falling into like the housemate scenario, and that's when couples fall apart as well. They become all like housemates and buddies. And it's about keeping the romance alive. I'm sure you're in a relationship, right?
Yes. No, I'm a married man, and Cody is recently engaged as of today.
Oh, congratulations. So look, you know that it's really important to keep the romance alive, and it's really hard to be romantic in an overly social environment. You need to have that one-on-one time. So, you know, courting and dating, even when you're, you know, in a relationship, engaged or married, is still really, really important, because without the romance, it will start to fizzle into a friendship if you're not careful. So, yeah, 100% you need to have the quality time. Distance is always a problem, even if you're in the same country. So, you know, even if you've got to travel like an hour to see each other for a coffee, that can take its toll, because it's really nice to have that convenience factor. So for some people, distance is a problem. For some people, it's really not. It depends how you manage it.
Sure.
Yeah, have you found any kind of pattern in the type of person where distance is okay? Because, I mean, I know married couples who've been, let's say a couple's been married 15, 20 years, and then one gets a job somewhere. Suddenly they're commuting to see each other on a 3-hour plane flight once a week, and that's fine with them. But then there's other people where I can't even imagine living. I mean, heck, in Chicago when I was dating, I set my Tinder radius to 1 mile. Because I'm like, if you live in the wrong neighborhood,
if you're 2 miles away, this is over.
If I need to take a bus to a train to get to you, there's no way. Just forget about it. So how does that work? How is there such a huge difference in the way that people tolerate that?
You know, I think it really depends on who you are as a person and your personal circumstances. So can I tell you from personal experience that when I was dating somebody, I was in one city and they were in another, and it was a 45-minute drive, which along a motorway as well. So it wasn't just, you know, in the suburbs. And it was a pain, and I did end up staying over. And just because of my circumstances, I could manage it because I was at university, so I had flexibility. If you ask me to do that today, I don't have the time, because the demands on my time is so much more.
Right, and the whole drive over, you're going to be so upset that you're driving there. By the time you get there, you're going to be mad.
Yeah, you're going to be really tired. You could have road rage,
right.
You know, all sorts of things. And there's always this expectation that when you see your partner, again, depending on, no matter where you are in the stage of your relationship journey, there's always this expectation that we've got to be on our best behavior and have a good time, because I'm not going to see you for a day, 2 days, a week, a month, whatever.
Well, here we go. Real quick, 312-981-7200. If anyone has a dating question they want to ask Susie, please call in 312-981-7200. One of the things that we have written down here is just the apps and the technology today. It's changed a lot in the last 10 years, 15 years from what dating used to be. And I know that there's a lot of negatives to that. There's a lot of Tinder, for example, is just very visual. It's not necessarily getting to know someone the way that people used to. What are the kind of dangers that you see in that world?
It's so superficial. You know, most of the dating apps are superficially led. And there's so many problems. There's, you know, you like the look of someone, but you don't like the sound of them, like the actual audible sound of them, or perhaps you've got no conversation. So you do get some people where it's like, they look nice, but I'll tolerate the fact that they sound like Janice from Friends, or, you know, they've got no conversation, but that's only going to last so long. And it is a huge problem. But some people, it works, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I've got a friend that got married from Tinder. But on the whole, Tinder has changed anyway since it started. It's created and attracted a different breed of animal, and people are looking for more.
They're looking for something a little different. How dangerous is it to think that you know someone from their Facebook page, or to think that you know someone because of what they've tweeted? Because I know that the kind of the temptation nowadays is, if I meet someone or even get set up on a, you know, to meet someone, I'm going to stalk them on social media first. How dangerous is it to write someone off without actually getting to meet them?
I love this question. I gave a talk about it actually this week. It's so dangerous.
Right?
Because, you can be anything, right? So Facebook is an edited version of your life. You're only going to put your best foot forward and only going to put your best pictures up and all that kind of jazz. And there's so much more to a person than the superficials that they put out. No one's Facebook is a real projection of their life. It's just not.
Right.
It's a completely edited version.
And if it was, that person wouldn't get any dates. If you put up like all the stuff that was going on with you, you'd probably be a lot less popular.
No, I travel internationally every weekend. I only party with attractive people. I don't know what
exactly.
You're talking about.
Right, correct.
Have you guys got like Big Brother over there or something?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so why do you think the Big Brother is so appealing? Because it's real. And people either like you or hate you by the time you've done your time in the house. And if you really stalk someone in real life, you would see that their Facebook and real life do not match up at all.
And Big Brother, correct me if I'm wrong, Big Brother is huge in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit too big. We've got Gogglebox and all sorts now. I mean, people just love to people watch here because I think they don't have a true sense of reality. And by watching these programs, it's like we can kind of watch you and stalk you and see real life unfold, because people are fed up of seeing things like Facebook where it is an edited version of someone's life. It's not a true depiction.
How do we improve that, though? Because the opposite would be to not be on social media. And I can't tell you the amount of people that have told me that if they were set up on a date and the guy didn't have a Facebook page or he didn't have a Twitter page, like, that's no. That's just an instant no.
Really?
If I can't know things about you before I meet you in this day and age, most people seem to want to not even engage. So what is the solution to this sort of on-demand world we live in now, where you can get so much information online, but you really can't turn everything off?
But that's a real problem. Well, honestly, if it wasn't for my business, I promise you I wouldn't be on Facebook. It's the biggest headache in my life. I'm fed up of, you know, all the notifications. But coming back to what you said, it's a real problem that people need to play detective before they've met someone, because I can't tell you the amount of time someone's seen a dodgy picture or seen a post and misconstrued it, and then they've written the person off and then not wanted to meet them. You mustn't Google someone. You mustn't Facebook them. You just need to meet them. And, you know, you asked me about what do I do with my coaching. One of the things I teach people is how to pre-qualify someone before you meet them. I know it sounds a bit recruitment-like, and it's not. There's a whole process you go through.
We need some of that process. Can you tell us some of that process?
I will tell you. But in order to, you know, kind of feel confident and comfortable about someone before you meet them, you need to pre-qualify them.
Sure.
And so what that means is, whether you meet on an app or a dating website, the process, and I'll just shorten it for you, is don't speak too much on the app or the website, because otherwise you run the risk of becoming like pen pals. And it's really easy to have a different persona that way than when you speak on the phone or in real life.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, we've established a connection, right? Okay, let's move over to the phone. Give your phone number out. You can have a dating phone if you want to, if you don't want to give your real number out because you're frightened of someone and you want to.
I just love the term a dating phone. Sorry, continue. I love the idea of like, this is my dating phone. I've got calls on this one.
Well,
don't
but
worry.
For girls, that's probably more normal because there's some creepy dudes out there, right?
Right. You want to separate that.
Like, I wouldn't need one. I'm a big dude, but.
No, but seriously, like I have my own chat show as well, and one of the people I interview is an NCIS agent, and, you know, she was telling me about the scary things that go on within dating, and actually there was a story that broke yesterday. So you have to be really careful. So if you want to kind of safeguard yourself, why not get a pay-as-you-go phone?
Yeah.
It's not expensive, And it just means that also, if you put a phone number into Facebook, you can pull up someone's Facebook profile through their phone number, because every Facebook profile is linked to a phone number. So again, it just kind of safeguards you in every respect.
Wow.
If you had a secondary number.
I didn't even think about that. You just pointed out something ridiculous, that every phone number is tied to a Facebook. So all you need is a phone number and you can look somebody up on Facebook.
So then I guess it gets dangerous.
I guess it's kind of interesting to me. You say that you set up a secondary phone and you have all this kind of stuff and you're sort of protecting who you really are in the dating world. How easy is it then to ghost somebody? And how often are you talking to people that complain about ghosting? And if you don't know that term, I'm sure you do, for anyone listening, it's when you just complete cut off, stop talking to someone that you may or may not have been seeing. You're just done without any explanation, anything like that.
Okay, well, this kind of ties into the whole process.
Okay, go ahead.
Together?
Yes, no,
okay,
please.
Fine.
Sorry.
So, in short, right, you meet on the app or the website. You don't talk there for too long because you know that you've got some interest.
Right.
You move over to the phone, whether it's your primary phone or your dating phone.
Your dating phone if you're... Okay, go ahead.
Right, okay. But can I just say, as a caveat, when you decide that person's safe, give them your real number. Otherwise, that will cause a problem when they know you're on the dating phone.
Right, yeah, when your phone's not ringing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a story for another time. But let me just tell you, you move them over onto the real phone. You get them over onto a conversation as quickly as possible because, again, oh, and don't WhatsApp, because then there's too much intrigue around, oh, can you send me some more pictures? And
oh, right, okay, yeah. Cut those off.
Yeah, like, don't be sending loads of pictures before you meet someone. It's like, no, let's just meet and try and meet up within 7 days of establishing connection. Otherwise, the whole pen friend thing happens. Other people start talking to the person you're talking to. They might lose interest, all that kind of stuff. Make things happen quickly. Really, you just want to get them on the phone to make sure that they don't sound like Pee Wee Herman or Janice and Friends, so that they're actually audibly okay.
Right.
They can hold a conversation, that there's a bit of banter and laughter going on, and that there's just something of intrigue. Great, okay, I'm interested in you. When are we going to meet? And guys have to take control of that, and they have to organize the time and the date. And whether you're both running busy social lives, just cancel whatever it is. Your friends will understand. Dating comes first. If you put someone on the back burner and make them wait, they won't feel like a priority, and someone else will come in, and you've lost the chance. So that's that. Now, you talk about the ghosting. Well, ghosting happens for loads of reasons. When someone isn't made to feel like a priority, for example. You know, when it's like, oh, yeah, I can see you in 2 weeks, it's like, yeah, forget that. I'm going to go out with the other one. And then maybe you've lost the person. But ghosting generally comes down to communication and lack thereof, where somebody doesn't feel confident or comfortable enough to say, do you know what, this isn't working for me. I think you're really lovely, but I'm just not that into you.
Right.
Or, you know, something has distracted me in some way. It's just about not being a decent person and communicating what's really going on.
See, I think all the technology out there makes a lot of us less decent people. I don't think that we wind up being as decent. We have to take a break. I want to know more about this dating coaching thing that you're talking about. I also want to know a recommended first place to take someone before you've met someone, if you're going to go for the first time. I want to know what you think the best place to be to do that. But we'll have more after this. It's WGN Radio. Craig Collins, Cody Goff, back with you after a few commercials. Oh, look at that. A nice little bit of, maybe this is dancing music. Maybe we're going out on a dancing date. Craig Collins, Cody Goff in studio here, filling in for Matt Bubala, Chicago's very own 720 WGN. This is amazing. Susie, you're still with us, dating coach, expert, extraordinaire. And I was just about to ask you where you would tell someone to go on their first date, and maybe it's not a club.
No, it's okay. Not a club. Sorry, when the music came on, that was quite funny.
No, that was awesome.
No, not a club. What do you want to do? Get down and dirty and start grinding with someone you just met them? I don't think
you
so.
Never know. Maybe somebody's going to be into that every so often. Maybe you got the right read in these WhatsApp chats or something.
Oh, don't even get me started. you asked me the best thing to do on a date.
Yes.
Well, first of all, don't go to a club. It sets the wrong tone.
Okay.
But a doing date, it's really that simple. Something where you are doing something where you can both interact and talk. I'll tell you why. If you go to cinema, you're not going to speak. You might be able to talk about the film afterwards, but you've just spent an hour and a half in silence with someone that you've just met, so it's a bit awkward. Bowling can be quite embarrassing. But something like, obviously, I don't know what you guys have over there, but like, you know, doing a cooking class or something where you're like making something or you're going on some sort of a tour or something like that, something where you can consistently interact and talk about what you're doing and have some fun, because it breaks the ice. The problem with going out for drinks and dinner, which I'm not saying not to do, it sure. just depends how confident and comfortable you are in that scenario. But when you're doing something, it takes the onus off you. And then you don't start getting into the awkward silences of, so how many brothers and sisters have you got? And then it starts leading down to, so when did you last date somebody? When did you last sleep with someone? Oh, why did it break up? Because when you run out of conversation, you start delving into someone's past. And when you start talking about the past, it again, it's just such a no-no, because you can let things out the bag that maybe someone will misinterpret or misconstrue. So definitely on a first date, do something so that you're never struggling for that that conversation. There won't be any awkward silences that you might feel with information that you don't really want to be divulging.
You know, Susie, and on that note, I noticed, and we've just got another minute or so. So when I was in the dating world, I noticed that I kind of became a serial dater, and a lot of my free time was going on dates. And I found that after a while, it became all I had to talk about was, well, I went on a crazy Tinder date last week. And when you're on a date, you probably don't want to be talking about dates. So what can people do to break out of that and moderate how much they're dating? Because it's so easy to go on 10 dates a week anymore.
I did it. I went on a date for breakfast, lunch, and dinner when I was living in Canada for a while. I mean, it happens. And it's boring. And nobody wants to know that you're dating loads of other people.
You went out on a breakfast, lunch, and dinner date with three different people?
Yeah, we're talking about well over 10 years ago.
No. That's impressive.
I've done two in a day.
Wait, but what's the, okay, Cody's done two. What's the downtime in between those? You get home from breakfast and what is it, like a couple hours? Do you change? Do you give a different wardrobe to the next person?
Like, go home, chill out, have a cup of tea. Like,
okay.
Go and do some stuff and then go out again. But I mean, it's totally taking it out of context, right? I was there for 4 weeks.
Right.
And I decided to go on a dating app. A dating website, rather. And at that time, I was playing around with the algorithms. I had like the most popular dating profile this website. And I was getting hit up left, right, and center. And I thought, well, all my friends are out at work and I'm here on vacation. I'm going to go on some dates.
No, hey, if you have three people asking you out in one day, I say go for it.
That's really hot. That's impressive.
That really is impressive. Susie Parkus, thank you so much for joining us. Dating coach, matchmaking expert. Check out your website, meetyourmatch.club. Yeah. I'm really...
There's a course on there as well about all the stuff we're talking about. It's everything.
By the way, that's a really cool not.com, not.org. You have .club.
Yeah, because it's a club.
No, I know. That sounds... I want to be a part of your... But I'm a married man, so I don't want to join. I just want to... It's just very cool.
You know what? We can talk about this stuff again, and that's how you can keep like one foot in the game. I can talk you through all the stuff that goes on.
Wonderful. Cool. Yeah, I lived vicariously through you and your three dates in one day, certainly, already. So, again, thank you so much. Now, get to your breakfast, get to your tea, whatever you need to do there in England. Thank you for calling in to WGN.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Cheers.